Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app.
Get tender USDA choice boneless chuck roast or stew meat for $6.99 a pound. Then get 2 liter bottles of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $1.49 each, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Greetings, travelers.
Greetings, travelers.
Greetings, travelers.
Holy shit, who is that?
Yeah.
It's, oh my gosh, it's Mark Tiberius Muncy. I'm not sure if that's the middle name, but I'm going to go with it.
Wouldn't it be like Mark Menacing Muncy or something? It has to be alliterative.
I'm just here. That's the important thing.
He's here.
On the right side of the grass, as my father says. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. Well,
I used to say.
I guess we are very fortunate also, listeners, that Mark is able to do a little bit now and then. So we're able to put together these episodes so you can have the illustrious Mark Muncy back, even though I think me and Bo were pretty kick-ass on our own. So
I think
we were doing okay.
Yeah, you did an amazing job. Thank you guys so much for keeping up the show while I'm on this journey, as it is with my health. So thank you guys. And hopefully we can keep going and plugging along, and we'll be here for many years to come again, gangs.
We're much like a haunting. You can't quite get rid of us. So
you can try to exorcise us, but it's not going to work.
You need a young priest and an old priest and a six
pack. And a hot priest.
And a hot steamy priest. Yes.
And we could have a priest like from the TV show.
That's okay. We're all going our own places there. So.
But I was going to say, I started watching a TV show called From. Have you seen
that?
Oh, I want to watch that, but I can't find it on streaming.
It's on MGM, which is through Amazon Prime. You can get it.
Yeah.
For the record, I am loving it. I'm like 4 episodes in, but brilliant. So the premise of this, for anybody who has not done this yet, and no, we're not being paid to advertise, but if they'd like to, they're more than welcome, is that you get sort of looped into this town that you can't leave from. And these monsters come out at night to literally rip you to shreds. So it's a very interesting show so far, and I'm a little addicted, and when we're done recording this, I'm going to go eat some Rice Krispie treats that I made myself out of Fruity Pebbles, by the way, in case anyone was wondering. It's my own personal little addiction, and I'm going to do that and go watch From. So that's what's happening with me.
We binged Hysteria, which is a satanic panic style.
Is that the Bruce Campbell show?
Stranger Things style, but Bruce Campbell playing against type. He plays it straight as the city's chief of police, just investigating these strange disappearances / murder / everything, while this kid is forming a band, and they decide to embrace the Satanism so that they can get more people to listen to their band.
That is definitely one approach.
The best thing is one of the actresses in it is the lady from True Blood, who played Reverend Newland's wife.
Oh, she was in Pitch Perfect too. So I enjoy her immensely.
She's amazing in it. Again, playing not against type, but right to type. So it was pretty good. So, but anyway, both excellent shows, and that is on Paramount Plus. Catch that while you're watching the series finale for Star Trek Lower Decks.
Okay. Well, I still haven't caught up on Lower Decks, but with that, I think we should dive into some listener questions. Do you want to start, Mark?
Been a while. So thank you, gangs, for sending these in. We love getting the questions. We love getting the tales. You can always send those to info@erietravels.com, or you can use the contact us form on the website. But this one, I'm reading this one right off the bat because it's for you two.
Oh,
all right. It says, "Hey, Erica and Bo, not you, Mark.
Hello.
And it says, what is your favorite snacks to bring in the Wayback Machine? And this is from Lynn.
Well, hello, Lynn. So my favorite snack, I'll go first, Bo, and then you can jump in. I'm not kidding about these Fruity Pebbles Rice Krispie treats. That's like a jam. But I will say I love almost anything gummy, but I'm allergic to coconut, so it's gotten harder and harder to find gummy things that don't have coconut oil in them. And I do love a salty snack. So I'm a big fan of like salty chips and or regular Doritos. Do enjoy those as well. They're gluten-free. And cheese. But you got to be careful sometimes with cheese. It depends. If you have a cooler, you're good. If not, don't do that. But those are my favorite snacks. For
I feel like the Wayback Machine would have a cooler in it.
I think so.
Yeah.
And Carrie will fight you for the cheese. So you got.
I know she will. Me and Carrie have very similar snacking things. What about you, Bob?
Well, I'm thinking that the Wayback Machine probably, I'm assuming it can fly, which means that I will like what I like on an airplane. And the snack I like on an airplane is Chex Mix. And I do not like Chex Mix if I'm not in an airplane. It must be something about the altitude, but Chex Mix.
Oh, that's weird. Okay. Well, good to know.
I have to dodge a lot of Chex Mixes because they usually put Worcestershire in it, and that's got the garlic and onions on it.
Oh, yeah. That would kill you.
Excuse me, Mark, specifically, you were not asked this question.
That's true. No answers from me, Mark.
If I had to put in my two cents, it would be boiled peanuts.
Okay. Oh, boiled peanuts. Yes. I'm a fan.
Caviar of the South. All right. Yes. So who's reading the next one then?
I'm going to let Bo.
Thank you, Lynn, by the way.
Okay. Thank you, Lynn.
Yes, thanks, Lynn.
The state hospital that was built in the 1800s is being torn down. This property already has restless spirits because of what happened there over the years. It was originally called the State Home for the Feeble-Minded, and some horrific things have happened there. I've been told that these spirits are in overdrive right now. With all that going on, would the dirt from this place be more energetic? Thoughts? Should I grab dirt for future use? And this is from Bonnie.
Well, hello, Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie.
No.
I knew that was going to be your answer.
I knew that was Erica's answer before we even went into that.
Nope. That is a terrible plan because you don't know what's going to be attached to that dirt.
I mean, but there's a lot of like magic and ritual involving graveyard dirt, and that probably exactly also has some stuff going on.
More energetic? Yes, it would be more energetic. Whether it's useful energy, that's up to how you use it. Again, you get out of it what you put into it from a witchcraft standpoint, from a Wicca standpoint and all that. I would say that's up to you how you use it. I think with all that energy there are uses for it. I would also try to take as many pictures of it as you can before it's gone and save the memory of that place if you can. Document. If nothing else, from a history perspective.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Bonnie, but nope. Anyway. Okay. Moving on. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
I have a weird question that I figured you might have the answer to. Please don't laugh. We don't laugh. Unless it's at our own expense.
Or if you told us a great joke.
Yes, a great joke will get us to laugh. Okay.
You have to start with, this is a joke, and then we'll be prepared
then
to
we'll
laugh.
Then we'll be ready to laugh,
Yeah. Most of the time when people say that anyway, I get a little mortified by what comes out of their mouth. So. Okay. This morning while I was watering the plants on my patio, I accidentally stepped on and killed a ladybug. I was horrified. I would never in a million years kill a ladybug on purpose. This has been bothering me all day. I was born in Germany, and over there, the ladybug, the Marienkäfer, did I say that right? Marienkäfer?
Close. I think that's close enough. Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't speak German. I apologize. Is always good luck. So is it bad luck or a bad omen to accidentally kill a ladybug? Should I be worried? What is your opinion? Thank you for your time, Michael. Well, hello, Michael. I would say no. I think if it's an accidental situation, it's a no. If you were doing it on purpose.
He seems remorseful too. It's not like he's like, oh good, I killed that bug. Like he's thinking about it in terms of what it means to his like heritage and stuff.
Yeah, and it, you know, if you want to, you can always plant little ladybug feeding plants out there, and there you go.
Yeah,
little something to the universe, I think.
For a bad turn, yeah, no, that happens. I mean, people get in accidents, people hurt things they shouldn't all the time, and you know, animals run out in front of your car because that's sometimes their instinct and stuff like that. So these things happen, and you know, bugs. Sometimes they're bugs, you know, and they get hurt, and you're rolling around in your sleep. You roll over and, you know, squash a bug that you didn't mean to. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It happens. And some people don't like bugs at all. So the fact that you're even into this at all just tells me you're a good person by nature. And that's fine. We are not the absolvers of this, but I think we here at Eerie Travels are not laughing, and we collectively say you're fine.
You're fine. And if you feel like you need to do something, then do something. You can always do that. Okay. So thank you, Michael. Mark, over to you.
Okay. Just listen to your horror role-playing games episode. And now I have a question. I need some advice to figure out how to express a situation of dire consequences to a non-gamer. We recently moved, and in my shuffle, my Dungeons & Dragons stuff got misplaced, including my dead man's dice. I use this term for a reason. A friend of mine died, and I had his bones made into D20s cool. and given out at his funeral. So when I call it dead man's dice, I mean that literally. Anyway, we've been at the new place for a month, and I finally found my boxes of dice. I just took out the fabled D20s, and rolled the first roll in the new house, and it was a 1.
Goosebumps.
My wife does not understand the gravity of the situation, no matter how I phrase it. She just doesn't understand why not only we have to move, but we might have to fireball the house too. Any advice would be good. Jamie.
So. Well, as someone who does not play Dungeons & Dragons, can you tell me the significance of a 1?
Okay. 1 is a fumble. It is the worst roll you can get.
A natural 1 where you roll something, and it's called natural because there are a lot of modifiers in you know, using your character stats. You played Baldur's Gate.
It's like when you get like a critical failure.
That is exactly what a 1 is a critical failure. No matter what you do, you cannot come back from that. So the first roll in the new house with the dead man's die is a 1. I'll be honest. I think that means you got it out of your system. It's done. Now the rest of your hits will be crits.
Or maybe it said 1 because his friend was really mad. He like lost the dice for a little while. And he was saying, hey, why'd you forget about me?
Yeah. Now, honestly, the dire situation, how you would rephrase that to the missus is say, hey, this is like rolling a, you know, a very catastrophic failure. And we want to get rid of that bad juju any way we can.
Well, the other thing is come up with an analogy like what are some analogies for very bad luck? Like people used to say a black cat crossing in front of you. We know that's not bad luck, but you just think of
like breaking a mirror, maybe like.
Yes. Yeah. Breaking a mirror. It's like if they walked into the house and broke a mirror. That's what I would say, because that is a catastrophic piece of bad luck for a lot of people. So.
You don't need to nuke the house and you don't need to fireball it. No. But
I have to move either, I don't think.
No, you can always do. There are plenty of rules for trying to unbad luck dice. That's one of the fun things. One of my favorite magazines, Nice at the Dinner Table, they've been around since the 90s. They do a fun thing where they have rules. All the gamers in that comic strip have different rules and rituals they do for their dice. Including taking them to the grave of their character, Gary Jackson, who is their game creator. I would say take it to Gary Gygax's grave in our world and rub the die on that. So there you go.
You could do that, but I think, Jamie, you can explain it that way. But I would put a bunch of really good intentions. I would do a little bit of a, cleansing thing and just like intend that it wipes it clean and do a little drink to your best friend that you lost.
Yeah. There you go. And then and stir him up to the table. There you go. Yeah. To the empty chair. To the empty chair. Sorry for your loss.
Yes, we are very sorry for your loss, but that is a good
thing. Glad he still gets the game with you.
Yeah.
Glad he still gets the game with you. That's pretty cool. I like that. I may look into that.
So I'm going to say this, that the next two questions are from two different people, but almost on the same back-to-back subject. So
I wonder if they came in the same day, because we get
I'm going to say them both just because I feel like they're a similar, we're going to give a similar answer. So the first one is from Brian, and it says, what do you guys believe Sasquatch does during hurricanes and bad weather happen? Do they hide? Do they get killed? With the recent hurricane and all the flooding, I was wondering. And then James asked, are there any Bigfoot bodies being found with all the flooding? Any other cryptids? Is there a cover-up? I heard Black Mountain is just like Area 51. James. Ooh. So what is Black Mountain?
Black Mountain is an area in North Carolina that is used for, was used for the NSA that we know of. We don't know what they used it for. I'm assuming it was like a server area underground. It's also called Big Hole in that area as well. And nobody knows, because it's just literally a hole in the mountain and government people work there. We don't know what it's for. We don't know what it is. I've heard rumors that it's an Area 51 type thing. The new owners are government contractors that used to be called Blackwater, but who knows what they are now. So who knows what's going on there, but it being the new Area 51, I'm not certain on that. I think it's just for surveillance and espionage and intelligence gathering. Now,
as far as the cryptid bodies, so one thing, I think we talked about this a little bit on one of the shows, but I think there's a lot that's been stirred up by what's happened with these storms, like a lot of things that maybe were uncovered, you know, undercut, whatever, by it. I think that to answer the question, I'm assuming they hide and they've been around for a long time, so they have to know what to do in these kind of things, which a lot of people did. But who knows? They might find a body washed up at some point. Now, I will say this, for whatever reason, and I think our Dogman expert kind of brought this up, but I think they do something about either destroying their dead or eating their dead. You know, a lot of, like, some of these have been known to do that. And that's why there's this theory that we can never find the bodies of these things, because I think if something did happen, they'd recover it like we would and do something. But that's my thoughts. What are your guys' thoughts?
I agree. I think they know when to hold them and when to fold them. And they get out of the way of these things. They can probably sense these things coming, just like the birds and the coyotes and everything. They tend to go to higher ground. They know what's coming. They're a little more free roaming than we are.
Yeah.
I think they know what to do. I think they, but now as for bodies being hidden and other things like that, we think there might be something to that. Yeah, there
definitely is many reports of people who have injured or killed cryptids, and the government suddenly shows up and locks their house or takes their property or does all kinds of stuff.
I mean, it may be UAP style cover-up stuff, so we don't know.
Yeah. But
there's definitely something to that. So
agreed. Thank you, James and Brian. Okay, Bo.
Greetings, travelers. I've always believed in Bigfoot. But during a college course, we had to do a PowerPoint presentation on any subject we chose, and I did mine on Bigfoot. I put so much time into research and creating my PowerPoint. I came out an even bigger believer, but I also became a quote-unquote Bigfoot believer to my family and friends. Bigfoot signs, stickers, stuffies, you name it, they gift it. I love it, and I've amassed quite a collection of Bigfoot items. One of these items is a Bigfoot Research Team sticker on the back of my vehicle. It draws a lot of attention and comments from people. They will usually share their own personal stories. Anyways, point of the message. Every time this happens, I react hesitantly, judgy even, not on purpose, maybe like a self-defense mechanism from negative comments in the past. I don't know, but my hubby gets a big kick out of it, pointing out how believing I am, but judging people who are like me. My question is, do you find a hesitation in acknowledging your point of view? This is from Chelsea.
Hesitation is very, very common. I mean, how often do we get this at conventions, haunted locations, when we ask somebody, hey, what's the ghost story in this building? And they'll go, oh, no, no, no story. And then after a little bit, though, after they've served us their our meal and stuff like that, and they find out we're pretty cool people, they'll suddenly go, okay, all right, I didn't want to say it before, but there's this thing that happens, and all that.
I have a story with a caveat attached. Like, I don't know if you believe this. I don't know if I believe this, but blah, blah, blah happened.
And that's honestly the hesitance. I get that even with talking about Dungeons and Dragons, but like we just talked about, sometimes somebody will be like, oh, do you play Dungeons and Dragons? Because I was so bullied about it as a kid. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid to go. Yeah.
I have a different view of this, as you guys both well know. I give zero fucks about so Chelsea, my answer is this. I don't care, because if you're going to judge me or you're going to think something, whether it's around Dungeons and Dragons that I played since I was, you know, 14 years old. I think Mark was a little younger, but we're very similar in age. You know, we've both been nerds. We were both like, we had very parallel lives in a lot of our nerddom. Mark's gone a little more nerdy in some areas, and I go a little more nerdy in some areas. But I don't care, because I am who I am. I think what I think. You don't have to believe what I believe. And if you try sit there and make fun of me, I'm just going to walk away or whatever, because you're not somebody I need in my circle or in my life in by any stretch. So my view is this, is that I think any beliefs you have are part of what make you, you, and you should never be ashamed of those beliefs, but it is common for hesitation. And I know some people won't even talk, but you know, that's my view is I don't care. I don't care. I will share. I don't walk around going, I believe in Bigfoot, but if it comes up in a conversation, I'm going to definitely be like, yeah, let me tell you about the Boojum.
Look at, we were recently at CryptidCon. We've been at Mothman Festival. We've been at all these events. And even there, people are sometimes afraid to tell us their stories. But then after a bit, they'll open up and start telling. But that's where you find your tribe. If you really want to talk stories, that's where you go.
So. Yeah, no, that's true. That's very true. Well, thank you, Chelsea. And we hope you, I hope you get a little more confident in your ability to understand how cool you are and you're with the cool crowd. Now
and keep hoarding that Bigfoot stuff. That's always fun.
Yeah. And don't show Mark, because he'll want it all. It's fine. Yeah. Okay. Mark, you want this one?
Okay. Yep. It says, I met you all at Mothman Fest. Paige was so sweet. Paige Lavoie. Yes, she was. I hope Mark gets better soon. Well, I'm on my way. So thank you. I'm here. Did you all get through the storm okay? Worried about my new favorite podcast people, Jenny.
Well, hello, Jenny.
Hi, Jenny. You're new favorite podcast listener. So
yes.
We got through it okay. Yeah, it was scary for a little while, but we're all good. We're all here.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. I would I said we're making it okay. There's a lot of recovery still going on here. There's still a lot of cleanup, but we made it okay. And Jenny, thank you for the positive vibes. We appreciate it. I'm glad you're with us. Okay. I've heard you all bring up witchy stuff a bit. I have a question. I'm hoping to get back into practicing. Where can I find more support? Is there an easy way to find a coven nearby? I live in near a few towns that were affected badly by storms. I want to help with positive energy rituals to help others. I know a coven would multiply the effects. Laura. Oh. Well, Laura, thank you for writing in. I think our number one is find metaphysical crystal shops, that sort of stuff in your area. That's usually the easiest. Sometimes you can find groups on Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that.
Discord.
Discord. Yeah. Local witches. But I would try metaphysical crystal shops, that sort of thing, because a lot of them tend to have a community and different meetups and stuff like that.
Yeah, a couple of people that were on our Discord opened their own Facebook group called Appalachian Witch Support. And that's where a lot of our friends are. And so, yeah, just look around. You'll find it. Just like you said, crystal shops, but also places like your local library. Sometimes the craft stores nearby have on their little meeting boards are good too, places to find it. So there are plenty of places to find local covens. And always, you know, just be careful. Some areas will look to, you know, not be the most positive. So maybe not your local church, but other than that, you'll be fine. So,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. So thank you, Laura, and good luck, and let us know what you find.
Yeah. Good luck applying that positive energy. I like that.
I do. I like it a lot, and we'll send good vibes your way. Okay, Bo.
All right. Last night, I did a cleansing and anxiety ritual with a white candle before bed. It's focusing on the flame, trying to rid my anxiety. The pillar holding the candle broke and sent glass flying. Is that a release or should I be worried? And this is from Lily.
Well, Lily, wow. I'm going to go release.
Yeah.
I go release. I, like a lot of intention, and that was a release.
That was energy transmission of some sort.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Definitely putting it back out of you. So that's good. So
yeah.
But I hope you're okay when the glass flew everywhere.
And I hope the candle didn't go anywhere crazy.
Well, I will say this too, Lily. Maybe one of the things, there's a lot of anti-anxiety exercises that have to do with breathing and like counting and, you know, how many things can you smell? How many things can you hear? Like there's a few of those. You may want to look those up because it sounds like you're quite powerful. And you're going to break a lot of glass if you continue down this path. So
that was my thought too, is immediately maybe get a focus, like a, some sort of crystal or wand to focus on. That'll help. Not just a candle, because you're feeding energy into an energy. That's, you know, that you might want to find something else to diffuse it a little bit. Nice prism. A prism or a quartz would be good. So
yeah, concur with that assessment immensely. So Mark, this one's over to you.
Okay, well, hey, Mark and gang. Hey, hello. Are you my gang? That's awesome. I kind of like it when you guys are calling yourselves.
You, Mark, you don't want to be more injured than you already are.
That's true. That's true. Okay, so it makes me want to send you guys down on Lower East Side and mess with the other rivals.
I'm going to do hilarious. We need some snapping, right? That's what.
Thank you. I love we both immediately went, you know, Jets and
West Side Story. Let's get some
stories. Instead of going up with our Gats. Right. Sorry, divergent there. All right, so let's see. You had some great advice last time. What spell can you do to end all work done on someone else? It's a third party. I know this woman is doing/playing a spellcaster to do bruja on someone I know. How can I banish her work for good where it no longer affects their thinking and emotions? Thank you, Anonymous.
That kind of feels a little above our pay grade.
Yeah, I would suggest getting help from a professional on this. Reach out to a coven or group that you're familiar with. They will probably be able to help you better than we can on this. In the meantime, usual protection stuff. Do what you can for the person. Salt, other things, making, you know, protection sigils in the area, even dream catchers with enough intention and stuff can make all the difference. Of course, our go-to is always the iron in the corners. So, you know, protect your threshold and that'll help break any connection, stuff like
the
that.
The other thing I would recommend... sorry if there was a loud noise, by the way, that Bo can't get rid of because my dog walked into all my speaker wires.
Was it Polly?
It was Polly. Yeah. And now she's skulking in the background because she may not, I can't find one of the speakers. So who knows? That's exciting. But yes. But one of the things I was going to say is this. I don't think it is smart to go against another, like trying to put energy against energy like that. What I would recommend, though, is to have your friend or help your friend do some protection against it, like the protection crystals, like that sort of thing. And even maybe an iron necklace, like me and Bo found a bunch of really cool iron necklaces on Etsy that are made with iron. That might be or bracelets. I'm not sure if this friend is a male or female. So whatever is appropriate for that person. But I would do something like that and not try to counterbalance what another spellcaster is doing.
Exactly.
So you don't know what that spellcaster is being told and what their intention is behind what they're doing. That is.
And if you're channeling anything, that might be even worse. Yep. Just throwing up a wall, protect what you can.
Exactly.
Good luck, Anonymous. Good luck. We're getting a lot of wishes.
Bob, you want to drop this next one?
Sure, but before we do the next one, I think we should take a quick commercial break.
Destiny Beard, the lyrical soprano who will haunt your dreams. With her alluring melodies and intricate harmonies, this dark siren of wistful song shall capture your soul and lead you into the night. Check out Destiny's new single, The Haunting Is Over, with international musicians Sam Haynes and Gary Bennett, as well as her other musical works at destinybeard.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back.
Wow. That was quick.
It was so fast. We're zooming through here. All right. Next one. So just a random thought. I always heard that when certain things itch, it means something. For example, if your feet itch, you're going somewhere new. Depending on what hand itches, either you're meeting someone new or you're getting money. Do you all know what I'm talking about or have others? And this is from Vivian.
Hello, Vivian.
Yeah, those are fun old sayings and old beliefs. They come from the old world, and then a lot of Appalachians use them as well. I've heard the feet itching many, many times. I get that myself. I don't get
the
money.
Is that because you're going somewhere new or because your feet itch?
No, it's probably the diabetes, but it's wanting to get out and explore. Always. But I don't get that one getting the money as much as I should. I wish. No other ones like that. I've heard, like, if your nose itches, that you're supposed to be looking for someone specific. That's an old one I heard. Like, if you get an itch on your nose, that meant you're about to meet someone new. I don't remember why, but that was just an oddball thing. These are just sayings and old superstitions. And again, I haven't done enough research on this. I might have to do that. We might have to look into this for a future episode. I like it. So
yeah.
Well, now I'm itchy because everyone keeps talking about itching.
It's like a yawn being a contagious
reflex.
Itching is a thing too. So
yeah,
I can't even read the word yawn without yawning.
Stop saying yawn because it's making me want to yawn. Okay. Moving on. Hopefully that answers your question. Okay. Greetings, travelers.
Greetings.
I am neurodivergent, so excuse the direction my brain went with this. This devastation in Appalachia right now is my thoughts have been with everyone affected by the hurricane, the people whose lives have been lost in the storm since Helene made landfall. And my
gat danged
brain went, what about all the cryptids? How are you dealing with the news coming from the total destruction? I know a lot of people are grieving and mourning with the loss of loved ones and property. Liv, here's the thing. I think we've covered this a lot on the show, is you have to help put out positive energy. And if you can assist, whether it's physically assisting or sending money to assist a lot of these organizations that are up in these areas. But I think all of us that are dealing with it or doing it on our own time and how we can, because everybody was affected differently. I think we answered the cryptid thing earlier.
Yeah, I think we did that earlier. I think they're smart enough to get out of the way, but
yeah.
And if they are interdimensional, they just boom, gone somewhere where they don't have to deal with it. So, but yeah, I honestly, a lot of people are still dealing with it. I mean, we drove through Asheville recent and the old arts district is just gone. And there's a couple towns that will never be coming back. So nature finds a way. There's stuff growing where the stuff wasn't anymore. And some of the trees are fine. And the cities will be back. A lot of areas need the tourism dollars. So please come visit Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg and all these fun places, and even Asheville, just do it compassionately. And same with this, we all are coping in our own ways.
Agreed. Okay, Mark.
Okay, let's see. Thank you again, Liv. Let's see. Hey, travelers.
Hey.
I keep an open mind because the world out there is huge and there is no way we've discovered everything. That said, I do have a tough time getting my head around skinwalkers. The fact that everyone sees them all over now seems to only be after the TV show. What do you think people are really seeing, John?
Well, hello, John.
Hi, John. I think we've said this ourselves many a time, that this is a phenomenon that happens. This, finding Bigfoot made it so that you could talk about Bigfoot in the mainstream. Ancient Aliens made it so you could talk about, ancient aliens and regular aliens. These things happen. The TV show Ghost Adventures made it so you can talk about going ghost hunting now. And people go, oh, yeah, I saw that TV show. So, and it does feed this. And I think a lot of people see some unusual things and they just immediately go, oh, that is like that thing on the Skinwalker show.
Because they have context for that. Like they have like a visual. Yeah. It's not like they're like, I saw this mystery thing. No one wants to hear about a mystery thing.
And I think we go back to all our holler monsters, all these weird things, the bogeymen, the wampus cats, the bench leg, all our fun things. If people say, oh, it's a skinwalker. Oh, I've seen that show. I've never seen the bogus, the bogeyman or the wampus cat show.
No, so, it's true. I think one of the things too, though, because I went down a rabbit hole the other day watching skinwalker videos. And the ones that I find really interesting are like the ones where like the dogs are doing really weird things. Like one of my favorites, this guy who's like, okay, sit, roll over, blah, blah, blah. And he shuts the door. He's like, that's Skinwalker. My dog didn't know how to do any of that. But I think that you have the dynamic that a lot of people see things because now they've thought to what Mark just said. But I think there is a small population that didn't understand what the concept of these were, encountered them, and now has a word to put with what they encountered, which is kind of what Bo said.
And then there's a little bit of the Tulpa effect, too, where if enough people are thinking about a thing, suddenly it starts being a little more energy towards it, and it does start appearing more. So who knows? Could be a little bit of that, too. So
yeah.
No, that's why it's preternatural, stuff we don't understand yet.
Very, very true. And they scare the crap out of me. So anyway. Okay, Bo, next.
I hope Mark is okay. Sad to not hear him go on the recent episodes. I hope he returns soon. I do have a question for Erica. Do you think your fear of haunted places is a sense of self-preservation or just a phobia? And this is from Leanne.
Well, hello, Leanne.
I don't know about okay, but I'm here.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Exists. We placed him in a chair and said, here's a microphone.
I've never really been okay. So
I have so much to say to that, but we don't have that much time on this episode.
Yeah. That's a whole season of episodes.
Yeah.
I fear of haunted places versus self-preservation or just I would say it's more self-preservation. I don't think I could actually physically be injured in a haunted location for the most part, besides going into a place that maybe is falling apart and stuff like that. Yeah. We talk a lot about some of these places that are not cared for that are breaking down. You can go through floors and unpleasant stuff. It is more what happens for me mentally and energy wise going into a lot of these places, because I don't find a lot of happy ghosts necessarily. I think they are out there, but a lot of times whatever is attached to something usually has to do with loss or anger or, something, sadness. Like, it's usually not like, I had such a great life, I'm so happy, I decided to be a ghost. That's not what I'm feeling. So to answer your question, it's more self-preservation. So, nope. Yeah, I'm out. Thank you, Leanne, though.
Thank you, Leanne. Yep.
Okay, next. I know about the 1950s incident at Wright Pat. I sent Mark this information, but he's being silenced, likely by his brother. He said he would write about it, but has not. He said he would talk about it, but he's not. He's not replying to my emails, and he's not on your show anymore. Am I in danger now? I'm sitting here hoping that it gets to him if you can. Ask him who I should talk to now since he can no longer tell the message. He was my contact. If he's dead, please tell me. Puddin'Tame.
Good name.
Wow.
Mark, are you dead? Let's start there.
I'm not dead. And the reason I was not on the show is not because the Men in Black, and it was not because I was on a visit with Indrid Cold.
X
and I have...
Were you being silenced, Mark?
I was not being silenced. The reason I have not written about... I did write a little bit about it in Erie, Appalachia, but I did not go further into it because I only have your story for it. And as a someone, I can't just publish something that only one person has told me. So I'm trying to find verification for that. I think I know exactly who this is. And obviously, you said your name's Puddin'Tame, so I'm not going to say your name out loud. Now, my brother has nothing to do with it. He's retired from the government. And right, Pat, the incident, right, Pat, 1950s. I'm trying to narrow it down. I'm trying to get information. And hopefully with all these recent blow-ups of hearings and stuff like that, we might be able to get more information. But Freedom of Information Act still can only get me so far. So if anybody else knows things about unusual incidents at Wright-Patterson in the 1950s, please let me know. I would love to talk to you about it. So just message me here, and I am still here, and I am responding to emails.
When he can, he responds. Yeah,
when I can. I have been not as good as I should be because I've been a little under the weather, but we're getting there.
So hopefully that answers your question. Okay, Mark, next.
All right. Are you doing a Halloween watch episode this year? I wanted to see if you all had ever seen Friday the 13th, the series. It is nothing like the movies, and I think Mark and Erica would love it. It's about hunting cursed objects. David. Hi, David.
Hi, David.
Yeah, I loved Friday the 13th, the series. I watched it many, many times, and not just because the actress Roby was a doll in that show. But I loved Louis Vendredi was the guy, the guy whose shop they inherit, and Vendredi being the 13th in French. It's a very cool series. Yes, it's hard to find. I think it's streaming on a couple of the like Freevee or one of those Freevee ones. We'll put a link to it in the show notes. Definitely worth your time, gang, if you haven't watched it. Have you ever watched it, Erica?
I have not, but I just wrote it down, so I will watch it, David, and we will let you know what we think, because I'm sure Bo will watch it too.
Yep. It's a lot of fun. It's very 80s. So
and it doesn't sound very Friday the 13th.
That's one of the reasons why it didn't really Haunted take Collector. Off. It was very X-Files. It was nothing to do with Jason Voorhees or anything like that. So
is it like they just put the name on it in hopes that like people watch it?
A lot of people got upset about it, but it was actually a very cool, spooky series. I enjoyed it a lot. So
I'm going to have to check it out. Okay. Bo, next one's to you.
Okay. There is a place called Devil's Elbow here. If there was a place full of weird vibes and tons of depressed spirits and more, it would be there. So many people have died there, but more than that, there is so much power there. It wouldn't surprise me if a few cryptids are there as well. Do you all know anything about it? And this is from Leanne.
I wonder if it's different
Leanne. This one has an E on the end.
Yeah, it's a different Leanne. I wish Leanne told us where, in what state this.
There are a few devil's elbows. That's the problem. Yeah. There's devil's backbone. There's devil's elbow. There's devil's knee. There's so many devil's chairs.
And devil is feet. Leaving body parts.
It says Missouri.
It does Missouri. Where?
It's an unincorporated community in Missouri.
Oh, okay. I do know Devil's Elbow, Missouri, and that is an unusual place. I don't know of any cryptids in that area, except maybe the Momo monster. The Missouri monster is a Bigfoot in that area, not too far from that. So if that is that one, that would be it. But I think there's another one in Kansas. Leanne, if you want to email us back and give us exactly where, I'm sure we can find some more information about it. So.
Yes, sounds like a potential show.
Dun, dun, yeah, dun. Yeah.
Okay, So I gathered hurricane water during strong wind gusts of Hurricane Milton, very powerful storm. What can I do with it? Any spells that involve manifestation? I'm new to witchcraft, and I also need to find some books. But I love numerology, astrology, and all that. What do the travelers suggest? From Mary.
Wow, Mary. Yeah, hurricane water. I didn't even think about that as being a spell ingredient. That would have been pretty cool. I don't know why I didn't think about that. So, yeah, just whatever your intentions are with it, use it. I'm sure it's charged. So there was a lot of rain and a lot of weather phenomena with that. So it would have had some ionized energy to it with all the thunder and lightning and the heavy winds. So, as for books, there are always plenty of suggestions. We'll put a few links in the notes.
One thing I was going to say too is, you know, that binding spell where you put the name in the lemon with the cloves and then you tie it up and then you submerge it in water and then you freeze it. Just saying, Mary, if you got to do any of that, I feel like extra strength freezing material.
Might be good for a sour jar. Good point.
Yeah.
All right. Just
that out there, but I love that. Mary, I'm sure that I would reach out to your different metaphysical shops too, of different spells and different times, but I would save that up for when you need it the most.
Yep. Good call.
Yeah. Okay, Mark, over to you again.
Okay. So greetings, travelers.
Greetings.
I want to know if you think you'll do a follow-up for Spooky Reads. I really enjoyed last year's special. I'd love to have more to read or listen to on audiobooks, maybe a holiday one. Leon. Well, Leon, we'll definitely do a follow-up. We did have a few people reach out about that. So we didn't have time to do it this year because of issues, but we will put that on the list. I don't know if we'll have time to get one in before holidays because our holidays are booked already, but something. If nothing else, I'll try to throw a list up somewhere on one of the sites. We'll all get together off camera maybe and do it. So
yeah, we can put our top 10 spooky reads.
Keep checking our socials, check our Discord, and we'll try to put something up.
I will say, if you want a read between now and then, I am listening to the audiobook of Pet Cemetery right now, read by Michael C. Hull, and it is excellent. And I don't even really like audiobooks, and I am loving it.
I just recently decided to reread Hellboy's Crooked Man series, the comic, just because I went and saw the movie, which is coming out straight to DVD over here in the U.S. and was pretty good. Pretty good. Appalachian horror classic. So
cool.
Very cool. I'm not reading anything scary right. Oh, you know what? Actually, that's not true. I've been reading The Bench by Ty Carlson. Mm-hmm. And that is basically like the Black Mirror meets the Notebook. It's on audiobook too, but I've been reading it and it definitely makes me want to punch the author in the face, but just in the book because it's so good. So that's what I would say. Okay. Bo, over to you.
I had a very strange experience. It started back in about 2006 when my mother passed away and I inherited the house. I then adopted a German Shepherd dog. One night while sleeping, I had my comforter ripped off me very fast also. I was in a state of sleep paralysis. Then I forced myself to wake up, pulled the blankets back on, and it happened again. I got extremely shaken and scared, sat up on the bed, and then I called my dog. He started barking. I called him into my room, and he's growling, and then something just pushed him down when he was standing up on all fours. He whined and let out this reek of fear, and thank goodness I have not had any other episodes like that. And this is from Richard. And Richard, that is very scary.
That is terrifying. And it sounds like something was in your room.
Yeah. I don't like that. I don't like that it pushed the dog. That's not very nice.
I don't like that it pulled the blankets off. I have very specific blanket requirements when I sleep. So.
Same.
Yeah,
I gotta have 1 foot out. If it took them all off, I'd be really upset.
You gotta balance that temperature. it's just like a reptile. It's important.
Yeah.
If it doesn't happen again, I wouldn't worry. If it happens again, then you might want somebody to kind of come take a look at your house.
Yeah. Call a hot priest.
or just reach out to us again. We can get somebody out there to check out someone reputable in your area. So happy to send people all over the world. We've got connections everywhere now. But yeah, just keep good positive energy your way and hope that doesn't happen again. So
yes,
I hope the dog is fine.
Yes, I hope the puppy. No good. No, don't do the puppies. Okay. Ah, I don't like any of that. Next. Okay.
All right.
Last night, my husband and I were sleeping facing each other. Middle of the night, I sensed something. Opened my eyes, saw about a 6-inch obscure shape, a definite shape surrounded by a glow. It was so bright, I couldn't see. My husband's eyes were also open. I whispered, "What is it?" Then it circled and flew through the wall. I have no idea what this could be. Any ideas, Carla?
So a shape.
Those are strong Tinkerbell vibes going on.
That's definitely energy of some sort. Could be, like you said, Erica, you like to call out the fae when you hear them. So that's was my immediate thought. But with this, you didn't have sleep paralysis, but it was definitely affecting you and your husband.
She sensed something, opened the eyes, and saw that her husband's eyes were open too. But it didn't sound like they were like held in place or anything, just more like they
it
woke up.
It sounded like it was like between them, right? Like they woke up and it was just between them. And that's yucky too.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was just visiting and went, "Oh crap, they're awake."
Gotta go.
You know? That's what my impression is like, "Oh shit, they can see me. Moving on."
I'm out of here. Yep. That's exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, Carla, let us know if it happens again. I don't think it sounds bad though. And what you indicated to me was not like ominous, just weird.
Yeah. It definitely sounds like an anomaly of some sort. Definitely preternatural. Hopefully a one-time experience, but keep us posted.
Agreed. Okay, Mark.
All right. So I've never discussed this before because I thought I was nuts. Hey, there's that hesitancy again. So in 1999, I was 19. I worked at the new AMC Theater at Mayfair in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. It was around October. It was Saturday. I worked the late shift and didn't get out till about 12:30 a.m. I was walking out to my friend's car and noticed something on the left corner of the roof of the theater. If you're facing the back of the building, when I got a little closer, it looked gargoyle-like. I remember thinking to myself, it must have been a movie prop somewhere put up during my shift. I got into my friend's car and told her about it. We drove up close to the building. As we stopped, I looked up at it and the thing moved. It stood up and stretched out its arms, what looked like wings, membrane-looking things, and then it crouched back down. We hightailed it out of there and didn't speak the whole way home. Days later, I asked my friend what she saw, and she refused to talk about it at all. It sparked a curiosity in me for all things paranormal. I will never forget what it looked like. I had to estimate it to be about 7 foot tall. It didn't stretch its wings all the way, so I couldn't see how big they were. I learned about Mothman after I started researching this thing. It's close to what I saw, but the one I saw had very gargoyle-like features. Big hands, muscles, bulging in arms and legs. Never saw an eye color, but it is burned into my brain. And now I fully 100% believe when people tell me their paranormal stories. Seeing something like that forever changes how you view the world. I wish I'd had more witnesses. It was not something like I'd like to see again, but I remember every detail. I even remember what movie was premiering that night, The Best Man. Anyone else have similar stories around Milwaukee area around that time? I'm very curious. Karen.
Hello, Karen.
Well, hello, Karen. That does sound very Mothman-like or just a flying humanoid of some sort. We've had reports of those all over. This came in right after we had the Mothman episode of Unsolved Mysteries premiere. So we did get a bunch of these type emails all at once. But I do want to say that that area, I'm not familiar with flying humanoids in that area, but I will research it in 1999, but you've reported it, and we will share it with a few reporting agencies and see if it correlates with anything.
I think
1999 could be a guy in a Batman suit, but it could also, but it could be something we don't know. Yeah.
He'd be a really tall guy in a Batman suit though.
Yeah. That high. Yeah.
Or he's wearing platform boots. We don't know.
Yeah. Don't know.
It's, you know, gargoyles are hot. Just going to say it. Okay. Well, you do the next one and then I'll do the last one because we're going to run out of time and we have so many questions. We're going to do more of these episodes, Travelers, because we've got
a lot to keep up with them all, but you guys are flooding us, which is not a bad thing. Keep them coming.
No, we like it.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Travelers.
Hey.
Hey.
This may come across as a strange question, but I've heard you all discuss this. My daughter is having some issues and needs to know if there's anything she can use to anchor herself to this world and stop her from jumping into alternate dimensions when she sleeps. Last night, she had a really bad experience, not knowing if she would get out of it and jump to multiple places. Thank you all in advance. Any advice is muchly appreciated. And this is from Kira.
Hello, Kira.
Kira, great name. I hope your daughter is coping with this well. It does sound like a scary problem. Some people, when they sleep, have a tendency to travel. And that is a common thing. So you're not alone. I would say, you know, there will be people who will tell you seek therapy for and all that. And that's always a good idea. But there's for other things, if nothing else. But this sounds to me one of the best things to do for someone who travels or remote views and stuff like that is to have basically a safe word, something that recalls you, something that brings you back, something that you think of. It can even be just like a pillow with a scent, like your favorite cologne or something like that. You know, people do that with their teddy bears where they put vanilla drops on it or something so that it brings them back to reality. That might be something to do. Give her an anchor.
I was going to say an anchor. You need to. So I had this problem when I was a child. So two things is I would say, make sure you have an authentically made dream catcher and not one you buy at a gas station, but an authentically made dream catcher in the room. And you can get those from New Mexico, Arizona. They're generally Navajo people have made them. The most
Cherokee has some too.
Yeah, Cherokee too. But you need to get an authentically made one with sinew and stuff like that. And she should place something in it that's hers that she chooses. Then I would get an anchor. It can be an object. It could be something that smells. It could be something that has a particular feeling. Something like that that's close that she can sleep with on the bed, somewhere around the bed. That is anchoring her there. And she has to remember just to pop back to it because she has complete control of that. Mine was a Snoopy,
nice.
But that's what I would recommend, Kira. Bo, do you have anything to add?
I have nothing to add. That sounds very scary. I have never had that problem and yikes.
Okay. This is the last one for today, and we'll catch up on more next time. But here we go. I live with my boyfriend. Every day he leaves for work early in the morning, and I get to sleep a little bit more. Sometimes he comes back from work early due to some problem in the office, like internet crashing. This is what I thought happened one morning when I woke up hearing noises across the apartment, like footsteps, doors, etc. I was really sleepy, so I just waited until he came into the room to say hi or give me a kiss. I saw the room's door slightly open and my boyfriend's voice speaking to me, but I couldn't see his face through the door crack. He started speaking to me in a loving baby voice like he usually does, but this is when I started to feel like it wasn't him at all. The voice was saying stuff like, "Hello, baby, you're so pretty. I love you so much, baby. Who's my darling? My love," over and over in such a mocking way. He never did this. It felt like someone was trying to pretend to be him to be invited into the room. Like I always do my boyfriend when I ask him to join me in bed for cuddles. This is the moment where I realized I should just be quiet and ignore it. Went back to sleep and when I woke up, the door was in fact slightly open, but the rest of the apartment was intact. No one came in. The exact same thing happened again twice, but the most recent being yesterday. No. Ooh. why is this the last one? I don't love this. Okay. I had paranormal events my whole life. Some being impossible to explain the way. I just shrug it off. I also have sleep paralysis sometimes. So yeah, this could be it. Even though I think this is a strangely specific thing to dream over and over. But this time it feels different. I've been feeling the presence in the apartment ever since, seeing silhouettes. And stuff's been moving like crazy throughout the day. The windows are all closed to the point my boyfriend started to think we have rats, which we 100% do not have. I'm starting to think that maybe this is something that needs an invitation and is trying to get that from me while I'm most vulnerable, confused, sleeping alone. What should I do, Christina?
Oh, wow.
That sounds like a mimic, right?
Yeah, that's definitely a doppelganger, a mimic. There are things like that that just they want to sound like someone you love. Sometimes to get your attention, and that's all it is. Sometimes it could be something malevolent trying to weasel its way in. So
it sounds like it's already in, though. Doesn't it sound like it's already in
the place, but not necessarily
getting what it wants. Yeah.
So I would suggest definitely reaching out. Let's get you some help. Let's find some people who can help you. In the meantime, find local people who can give you some protection. If you have a church, reach out to that. If you have paranormal friends, reach out to them. If you have a coven, reach out to them. There's a lot of ways. Support is your best friend right now.
I would get some iron and put it at the corners of your apartment, like all four corners. Get some iron, get some crystals, like put some stuff there with intention. But I think you might need help to get whatever this is that's there out. And it sounds like to me, the way this is happening, it wants something from you and is waiting for you to invite it for whatever it is that it wants. And we had a similar story to this where something was bothering a girl and it wanted something from her boyfriend. Remember, wanted her to invite it into her boyfriend or something like it was
something like that. Yeah, it was very
No. This
is definitely not seek some assistance. Reaching out to us is a first step. We'll reach back out to you and try to get more contact information, or feel free, send us more and we will get a team out to you if you have nobody else.
Yeah, we will.
Friends, family can help too. So
yeah.
Since I don't want to end on this one, let's do that next one, because I want to do this next one because it looks like fun.
Okay. So I'm gonna do the next one and we're gonna do nothing else
I saw this one when I was perusing the file before we went on, and I thought this was great. So and appropriate for the holiday season. So happy Halloween, Eerie Travels. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
It's always Halloween here.
Always Halloween. Yep. When I was young, my father invented a pretend holiday known as Big Sandwich Night, which took place the weekend after Thanksgiving. During this time, we would search for the largest loaf of bread we could find and construct a massive sandwich. Each of us would select extravagant ingredients to create our own personalized selection before slicing it up to enjoy. Assembling the sandwich symbolized community and collaboration. Following this, we would set up our Christmas tree, signaling the start of the holiday season with Big Sandwich Night. I grew up thinking this was a genuine holiday that everyone in America celebrated, until at around 8 years old, I asked my friend if they were looking forward to Big Sandwich Night, and they responded with confusion. It was a bit of a blow to my perception of reality. Nevertheless, we continue to honor this tradition and have shared it with friends and loved ones. As we've welcomed more participants, we've had to join loaves together to create a sandwich ample enough for everyone. Yet it continues to embody the fundamental idea of everyone coming together to share the same sandwich and camaraderie. I would like to offer this as a new holiday for you all to make folklore for. Nwoda.
Oh! I'm on board.
I'm loving this.
Yes, Nwoda. I am all in.
100%. I love this holiday.
I only had to know it was called Big Sandwich Night. I didn't even have to know what it was about. I was
that sounds like some British television show, but I am the Jimmy Carr host, but I am all in either way. So
I am 100% on board with this. Big sandwich night. Woo-hoo!
I think that might solve some of our other people's issues if they just had big sandwich night. Purge the house of all the negative energies and everything. So, wow. We had to end on that one. Come on.
Oh my gosh. They've been so wonderful. Thank you, travelers. And I know we're coming into the holiday season. I think this is going to come out right after Thanksgiving. So if you're listening right now, is a good time to do big sandwich night. Just grab what you can and do it with your friends. And Mark, since we're lucky enough to, or unlucky enough, depends on how long we've got, to have you on this particular show, can you take us away?
Yes, of course. Well, travelers, thank you all so much for sending us these questions. We've got many more to get through, and please send us more. We will get through them all eventually. That is the plan. Reach out to us at info@erietravels.com or go to erietravels.com and just click on the contact us info. There's a lot of ways. If you have an issue that you need someone to research or look into, we can get you in touch with the right teams. If you need to report a sighting, that's where you go. If you just want to tell us a tale, tell us there. If you want us to know more about folklore or something like that, or if you want us at an event that you'd like us to talk at, please reach out there. That's how you find us. That's how you get us. But thank you, as always, for these. We love them. We love going on these travels with you. We will do them as often as we can. Thank you for putting up with my absence, and hopefully I can be on as many of these as I can. And all that said, it's the holiday season. We're going into the dark of winter coming up. So be ready with yourselves, protect your family, protect your loved ones, gather them together at these wonderful holiday celebrations, give everybody big hugs, put everything else aside. You're with family, you're with friends. Also, you may have other visitors there, some ancestors, some other people that share your space. Embrace them, be friendly with them. And with all of that, enjoy your big sandwich night. And we will see you on the other side.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.